Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Amplify Your Business. Today, we're going to be talking about psychology and mental health, and we're going to dive into what this all means for entrepreneurs, but we're also going to talk a lot about an entrepreneur who's in this space, who's grown just an incredible business in psychological services and wellness services to individuals as well as business owners. So I'd like to welcome then to the show, Corey Hruska. I didn't roll my R good enough, Corey. I'm sorry.
You did good.
Who is the CEO of Insight Psychological. Thanks so much for joining us today, Corey.
Thank you.
Okay, so Corey, right off the hop, let's talk a little bit about some of the lessons that you've learned or some of the insights, forgive me for that, but the insights that you have in terms of entrepreneurship and your journey, which is, I think you said you've been at this for about 25 years. So what are three things that every entrepreneur should know or be skilled at?
Wow, just three.
yeah, that's all it takes, right? Just three and you're off to the races. Everything else falls into place.
I think like what originally started me, and I don't know if it's a skill, but I needed to have a mission/vision in my head. And part of that was because I was working at another agency, or actually kind of two, and I became frustrated because it was either there was bureaucratics, I didn't have enough say to be able to influence things, to make more efficient. I'm a bit of an efficiency freak. So I kind of want things to run, you know, efficiently, smoothly, and effectively. And you know, when we're trying to service clients and help clients get that, and if it's being bogged down administratively, or I was starting to lose my my mind. And I remember phoning up a friend going, okay, I can't handle this anymore. I want to start my own. Are you interested in it or not? Because I'm doing it whether you come or not. And so he initially joined me and we kind of started the struggle.
Yeah.
And so as soon as you start that struggle, I think the big things that you realize is you don't know as much as you think you thought you knew, because I had a lot more energy and, you know, motivation to be able to do that, because I had that in my head that I'm going to craft this, I'm going to make it, and realizing, wow, there's a lot more work to this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like plowing a field. Oh, let's do it all by hand. It was easy. It'll get done, but sure not as fast as it would be. So you got to tolerate a lot of uncomfortableness is one of the most important skills, not only for mental health, but if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you got to be able to tolerate unknown, the uncomfortableness of growth or lack of growth, change, financial stress, all of that stuff. You got to be able to weather that.
Yeah.
Tolerating risk is the other one, because there's no guarantee. When I was doing this, I think in the first 3 or 4 years, probably almost went bankrupt 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Because I had to leverage my house to be able to pay the bills. And I was working 2 jobs to pay the bills for the third while I was working at the third. And that was running, you know, I think some of those weeks were 90-hour work weeks, because if I didn't, like, the mortgage is still getting pulled out. The rent is being pulled out. Everything, you know, it disappears once you kind of lock into some of those commitments. And so you now have to commit to it and work on it, or you don't survive. And which requires then that third skill, which would be that persistence or consistency. You need to be stubborn enough to make that mission happen, because if I didn't, I mean, there's a few times I wanted to give up. It's like, oh, it's like, why am I doing this? You know, I questioned that a bunch of times. But yeah, I think I had that mission, and I became stubborn enough to say, I'm going to make this happen. Hopefully if it doesn't kill me. But it was kind of in that mindset of just getting that inertia, getting that beginning traction, and hopefully trusting the process that I could do it. It became a mission to me that I didn't want to fail at it. So that was my risk.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't that the truth, right? Like, you have to have a certain level of stubbornness and persistence, and that at the same time as balancing that with the flexibility that's required to kind of roll with the punches and adapt and adjust and pivot businesses and strategies and so on. Right. So it's quite the characteristic, you know, soup that we all have to kind of live through or bring into our businesses or into our psyches. So speaking of which, your business, so 25 years, you've been at this now, I think you said, and so.
At our anniversary, I think this year. Yeah. So
is it
25 years this summer? Yes.
Congratulations then. Yeah, that's incredible, right? I mean, that's a huge legacy, and the success that you guys have had. You're in six locations across Alberta right now, and you also are doing a bunch of stuff remotely out into the east coast of Canada. The awards—that's where you and I just most recently bumped into each other—was at the Alberta Business Awards of Distinction. You walked away with an award there, which is really exciting, and so you're getting the recognition. And obviously you're experiencing lots of success. And so tell me a little bit about your business and how you achieved this level of success and the 25 year track record now.
I don't know if I can give you a coherent answer because it was like a journey. I mean, I guess, so regarding the business so you want to know a little bit about like what does a psychological practice do or what is it?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Well, I mean, we deal primarily with, I call it people problems. You know, I don't know if it solves the people problems, but our job is to help support and or, you know, help them work them through or at least understand or knowledge or assess what's going on. And so as a psych service, we typically will do either counseling or assessment services. And within the counseling, that could mean, I mean, commonly we'll do a lot of mental health issues, which is right now with COVID. We hit an initial drop, but then a surge because of the, you know, the stress, the anxiety, the work issues, the return to work issues, the conflict, the substance abuse issues that have been occurring from that. So a lot more people have become aware of it, supportive of it, and or even needing of that. And so we've been there to provide kind of that multi-psychological discipline to help kind of all those key areas with trauma. My main specialty is a sex therapist. So that's kind of the other sexual issues that I tend to do a lot of work with. And so on the other side is kind of the assessments. And the assessments typically may include, you know, kids going to school, psychoed assessments, personality. We do forensic assessments, return to work. So that includes not only corporate care stuff, but kind of I think I got 350 or more psychological assessments, which all measure different things that would be wanting, you know, to be assessed.
Yeah. And in particular, one area that I think our audience would be really interested in hearing about too is your Insight Entrepreneur Care side of the business as well. So you're offering very specific services to entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and that goes both to the corporation stuff because we have corporate care and the entrepreneurial care. And the corporate care would be helping businesses and corporations take care of their employees and know what's going on and or train the management, senior management in terms of how to either do that well or to be aware of psych issues. And so there's also the entrepreneurial care, which is taking care of those CEOs, kind of like a call it like a high performance vehicle. If, you know, if that goes down, you need to have that well maintained. Otherwise everyone else may suffer. And so you want to be able to kind of make sure, and they have more unique needs because they tend to run a little hotter. They tend to run a little longer. They tend to, you know, have to, you know, go through a lot more bumps, and therefore we kind of support that.
Yeah.
Helping take care of that. So we don't get crashes because they're also much higher to have mental health issues if they're pushing themselves too high.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. And I've definitely had a lot of conversations with entrepreneurs. And so, you know, when we're not recording, then sometimes some of that, the mental stresses, the conversations about that is coming through. And I just had a great one yesterday where I was talking to a fellow entrepreneur, somebody that I really respect and I've known for quite a while. And there was some frank discussion around just mental health and just the toll that COVID had on us as business owners and on her. And I can totally relate to it as well, where, you know, there was other segments of the population in which COVID actually slowed things down for them. Entrepreneurs, on the other hand, even if their business slowed down, they themselves were working, it seemed like, a lot of extra hours and a lot of extra strain and stress because you have the responsibility of all these people and the families that, you know, that are being fed by their salaries and that. And so trying to keep everybody going and keeping your business afloat. And then, you know, all the business development had to go into overdrive because there was just, in the early days anyway, such little business happening because everybody just kind of put a pause on spending money and just kind of holding their cash, as it totally makes sense to do. But what happened though with a lot of the entrepreneurs that I know is they were just going hard. And then once COVID, you know, things started to relax and business kind of got back to normal, then for some businesses, there was a bit of a surge. And in others, they maybe there wasn't a surge, but this pace they've had to keep up with. And it seems like it's been just a 2-year marathon that a lot of us have been running on. Is that something that you're hearing when you're talking to other entrepreneurs? Is that something that they're relating?
I am. And there's different, I guess, there's different mindsets with entrepreneurs or versus even business owners, because they're slightly different, I would say, if I'm going to be nitpicky regarding terms. Like your entrepreneurs are the ones that are, they're always thinking, they're thinking about new angles, because you got to be creative in terms of working with what you have. And they're the ones that may grow with the, you know, the business as an opportunity. Because a lot of businesses could go, well, hey, we're just not taking any new clients. We're full and this is where we stop. So go find someone else or else someone can do that, right? And so that entrepreneur is, how do you now adapt to the circumstance to keep things moving forward or growing? Whereas a business owner may or may not do that, depending on whether they've achieved their goals in terms of their head or how much work they want to do. So they're almost like different mindsets in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really good distinction for sure. And in terms of like the pivoting that was occurring as well with businesses, like you're talking about, like, well, how do I handle the growth once things did turn around for some of those sectors? But then also, like, before that, as they were trying to figure out how to keep the doors open and find other revenue streams, like I've interviewed some entrepreneurs who pivoted like 3 or 4 times in the matter of like 8 months as they were trying to figure out how do they service or find a market that they could service, because they just had to keep those, you know, their employees busy and stuff. So that's it's crazy the amount of stress that is involved with that.
I think it's also one of the funny things I've heard people talk about. It's like, oh, I'll just own a business and then I'll sit back and just rake in the money. And I'm thinking, well, when I look back on mine, it's like, you have to have money. First of all, I had no money when I started the business. I leveraged against my house. And so you're kind of running paycheck to paycheck. I think the first year I laughed. The first year that I was in business, our gross profit was $7,000-something for the year.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which covered 2 months of the whole rent, you know, and that was it. Never mind about the other, you know, and so each year you're like, well, you got to find money to kind of feed it, to be able to kind of, it's almost like a garden. You need that base, you need that foundation before you can pick up that momentum and have enough other stuff. But if you're using all of your resources to just maintain, then you can't get growth. You need that percentage to kind of add to keep the growth happening.
Yeah. So now, you know, working with other entrepreneurs, yourself, as well as you being an entrepreneur and an expert in the psych services, what would be, you, in your opinion, the best things that entrepreneurs can do to manage that, to manage the you know, the ups and downs and all the demands and stuff, so that they do have that can maintain that mental health?
I mean, some individuals are a little bit more born naturally. There is a little bit of that biology kind of component. But then if I'm going to look at the two other main areas, that the psychology component is, how are you managing that mental health or those stress responses? And you need to have a really good output and an outlet for that. So if there's stress coming in, what are you doing with it? And so kind of like when people talk about well-rounded health, it's like you need to maintain your physical health, you need to maintain your relational health, you need to maintain your psychological health, and all three of those are going to be bouncing back and forth. And so utilizing that relationship dynamic with your support systems will be one of those things that's really important. And then the psychological health is knowing self in that area. So like, what do you need? Some people need to be alone. They need downtime. Some people need to recharge by having people around them and build them up and keep that support process. So it's really knowing how your own machine runs because not every entrepreneur runs the same in terms of that machine. And so that's part of our job, is to kind of sit down, analyze or assess individuals to find out, how does your machine run and how are we going to be able to take care of that one, because it's different than the other ones there. And even be able to teach them how to do that with their employees and or managers too.
Yeah. So like in it, and I get that, where there isn't going to be kind of a one size fits everybody. It's just it's so individualized, right? But there must be some, you know, kind of best practices that you might be able to share with us for the high performing entrepreneur who, you know, is pulled in so many different directions. Is there routines or anything like that that you would recommend that entrepreneurs in general try to follow and then obviously tweak from there?
I'll try to go through a few. I would say like consistency would be one. So you want to be able to be predict things so that you're not always having to be aware of the unknown around the corner. So that predictability, the consistency, not holding things in. So a lot of, you know, let's take that, you know, tough exterior, Superman syndrome, we call it. And so, you know, until, you know, you act strong, but however, you know, when your back breaks, you know, or your knees buckle, it's too late. So you have to be able to really be aware of what's going on, watch that, internalizing, you know, entrepreneurs are famous for internalizing things because I got to show that good presence. And so, you know, being able to have that outlet, sharing those feelings, sharing the, you know, the stress response, letting it out in some way, watching, I'll call it substance use.
Yes.
Which is usually a self-medicating process or an avoidance process. Those tend to lead to just a much bigger chain of events that may seem like, hey, it's working good now. Give it a year and watch what happens. And then it, you know, and there are some that manage okay with that, but it's just something that, you know, it's one of those little yellow flags to watch for, because it can definitely lead to big problems.
Yeah. Yeah. That totally makes sense. I'm also curious, you know, because we, you know, most of us who are listening to you right now have employees that are part of our business as well. And so identifying the markers where there's a potential issue kind of brewing with your employees. So to, you know, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is there anything or any advice that you'd give for us where we might be able to get ahead of the storm, so to speak, so that our employees aren't in a situation where, you know, they're having like a severe, you know, breakdown or whatever, where the mental health has eroded to the point where it's really problematic on the business as well as the individual. Is there any advice there or things to look out for?
I mean, well, there's going to be, well, I can talk lots about this stuff. So I guess I'd say one, think of that family, what's going on in your family can impact and contaminate your stuff at work. And so listening to, are there any family issues, stress response issues with late or absences at work, you know, performance, you know, injuries, those kind of things are going to be your more blatant kind of statements. And that means you got to listen to the employees and what they're going on. We've actually created something. Part of this is My Psych Pulse. We've created an online platform for our businesses to be able to allow their employees to take an online screen to evaluate where they're at, that the is confidential. They get their own report. Not even we have access to the reports or the results. But we do collect the aggregate data, which means that if they belong to an organization, the organization can get some statistics on how their company is doing from a mental health perspective and what areas they might need to pay attention to. And so that's what we've kind of helped to help support some of the corporate care side and the individuals, because then they can see if there's an issue with them, if they're curious. It's free, you know, for the companies that we're dealing with. And they can get their own gauge on where, you know, which area might be a problem and need some attending to.
Yeah, that's a great tool. And I think a huge resource. Is that something that, you know, that employers, entrepreneurs can access through your website or something? Or is this something they have to be enrolled into a program with you? Or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, there's normally, I think we have to, they have to be part of the program, but it's free for their employees. And so
yeah,
we just kind of opened it up last year, I believe, is when it kind of came and started. And so I'm not 100% on the requirements now, because I know all clients of Insight get access to that once they're a part of that. And then it's just checking with, there's different plans I think we have depending on what they want. And so it's relatively inexpensive to be able to get that screen stuff done.
So now just pivoting a little bit back to your practice and your entrepreneurial journey, you know, like having 6 locations across Alberta, I mean, that's a heck of an accomplishment in 25 years. What do you think you would, you know, really be able to pinpoint that success on? What are the keys to that?
Well, I mean, initially, there's lots of goodies in there, I bet. After a certain point, I think there was kind of like I call it like a geometric sequence. The first 10 years were a struggle. And after that 10 years, and again, you know, in talking with my wife, who's that business stuff, like, oh, it should have been much faster. It's like, well, not from a psychologist in my head, because I don't know anyone else that is doing that, you know? And so it's her thinking in that business mindset is like, oh, here's how you do it. It took me years to even wrap my head around it. But I think when we hit probably around year 12 or year 13, that's when things really started to kind of lock in and we got that inertia. And then we kept growing, and then, passing, the goals that I was initially thinking I could ever do. And then the last 5 years have been just, it's almost moving, I wouldn't say a geometric sequence. It's like, once you have a foundation of that base, you can now take some of that equity from that and utilize it to hire more business, like business administrators who know what they're doing, can be able to go out there, spend the time in marketing, really create some good products that I was doing in the past. And so being able to support your infrastructure first to be able to propel it forward so that you can have a good product and be able to kind of, and have the admin support be able to answer that, answer the phone as fast as they can. And, and then you got to keep up with the growth while you're doing that. So just when you think you got it good, then now it's already overwhelmed and now you got to rethink it around. So to me, it's like, once you get a little bit of that equity into the cash equity, and so if I had $1 million, I would have, invested in a good business operations manager and some marketing and have my good core team and then kind of build that from there.
Yeah.
But I didn't. So I had to earn that slowly, to get to that point.
Yeah. So in retrospect, now this is going to be a tough question because it's something where there's so many unknowns, but in retrospect, is there anything that you could have done differently, knowing what you know now, that would have allowed you to been able to fast track that growth even faster? So like you said, it took that 10, maybe 12 years, and then you were the engine itself just kind of took over, right? Like it's rolling forward. So you have the momentum. It's that snowballing kind of effect, right? But is there anything that, looking back, where you're like, yeah, if I would have done this a little bit differently, I could have maybe shaved off a couple of years of time to get to that growth level?
Yeah. And I would say it wouldn't have been the psych area. It would be in the business. So this is where those business experts go in. And so I would have hired, and the dilemma is, we were just thinking this only a few years ago, hey, do we hire a business director to be able to kind of do this? And, they aren't cheap. Or if they are, like, the question is, do you want a good one or do you want someone who kind of knows their stuff? And so you're investing in the money into potential. Yeah. There's no automatic return. Like, if I'm investing in a therapist, then they're front line. They're working. We're being able to build their services. If I'm investing in a business operations manager or a business individual, I'm just investing for a potential. And I got to trust that potential is going to, bring something back. And we've hired some business, individuals where, we didn't. We, like, it was just, you sunk money into something to kind of help prepare something, but there's no return. Yeah. It was just a loss. So it's finding a really good business manager who knows how to run a business and and think in that lens within a humanistic, healthy, psychological practice, that, right?
Yeah.
And so you're, that would have been requiring me to get a bigger loan, invest in a possibility, know how to pick that person, which I don't know if I would have been able to back then, because I'm like, sure, you know, you have a piece of paper. I kind of, you know, I you're speaking a whole different language than me regarding business. I guess you know what you're doing and just show me what you can do. And it could have been like, thanks for the salary.
Yeah. So it's spent all their time on the golf course instead. Yeah.
That would have been, that would have been kind of a, probably something that would have been really would have, you know, jet setted it up forward, is because they would have set the structure and the protocol and the format and the lens for growth. And that, you know, I wouldn't have known. I kind of known from working in other companies, but it was, yeah, third party almost, like, oh, I know they're doing, I don't know what they're doing. And I don't write policy and procedure, and I don't write structure or business planning or do, I was going off the hip from a, I think I was 27 when I started, like, okay. And so I didn't know anything.
Yeah,
I thought I knew things. I knew it just enough to work with my partner at that time. Between him and me, we figured things out, because we both have different personality, and he was a lot more attending to detail and kind of the administration stuff. And I was more like, I'll go chase and I'll go get the stuff and kind of organize the big stuff. And so we worked really well beginning in terms of synergizing those components to set that structure.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned about, you know, obviously hiring that right person from the operations standpoint and not really knowing how to do that. Now in retrospect, I mean, obviously you must have those people in place already. So you've done some good hiring now. So is there any advice that you can give entrepreneurs and how to do that properly? Because there are a lot of entrepreneurs that are in the exact same situation where they understand that they don't have the skill set to maybe grow the operations or look after the operations part of it. They're really good practitioners of whatever it is that they're doing, but maybe not great operational managers. So
this is where that corporate care component comes in, is that business consultant. These are the individuals that have ran businesses or successful businesses, know what to look for, know how to help train for the interview, stuff like that. And we have a few of those that we have that have worked. And so, you know, that 1 hour, I think there's an old term of 1 hour with an expert is like 1 year of your own experience struggling through it.
Yeah.
And so that's where you'd be paying, you know, you pay for that experience to streamline the efficiency if you want, or you can learn your own way. And so that's kind of where you could streamline some of that stuff, but it's,
yeah,
there's a cost associated with it, and however you want to kind of pull that out, right?
Yeah.
We also have, I think with one advantage we've been doing is there's some government grants out there. So for instance, some business students are able to work on projects. And so the grant will cover some of their salary. And that's allowed us to springboard some things that I never, you know, we never even considered, because it would have been too much manpower and cost. And so we've taken on some, I think 4 or even one time 5 or 6 business students, all working on different projects, all supporting kind of that underlying mission having moved forward, which just what used to take 2 or 3 years now took 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. I'd care to share with the audience those programs, if you have their names off the top of your head.
I don't know the names. Yeah, there's that's not my area. So yeah. I mean, I'm sure we can add it into there. There's one for tech, like I think it's Tech Nation or something like that. So if you're doing technology stuff for our apps or the media or the computer stuff and web, there's one for that. There's one for business, but I don't know the names.
Yeah, well, we'll throw those into the show notes so that people can reference that after here. So that'd be good. And I think that it's really interesting, you know, taking that approach, because it sounds like you've really, like from what I gather on your website, you've used your business as a platform for other psychologists to, you know, learn their craft. And so there's some co-op or practicum opportunities, it sounds like, that you have, and then using other students from the business side and so on. So is this something that's kind of a core piece of of just the way that you, I guess, give back to the profession and give back to the community. And that is that, or is that just out of happenstance?
Well, I mean, it was ultimately in terms of a, you know, it's partly happenstance and partly with an intent. And so the initial intent was, hey, I'd like to take on students to be able to train and have them get some experience because they need that training. And then it just kind of picked up some speed. And then again, it's, you know, it's, you never know what happens when you plant that seed. Now it's grown into a machine where we're, you know, we had 60 individuals apply for our 5 positions. We're in January. We already interviewed for January for 2 or 3 positions for the practicum students. And we're investing now into the practicum students to allow them to be able to come on as therapists later on. So it's kind of now we're training them. They're getting good experience from a broad spectrum. We want to be able to support them in terms of being a part of the practice, which is now like, you know, it's kind of like a big family. And so it's kind of both, you know, we're going to give that good training experience. Hopefully they'd like to come on, but if not, then everyone has their own plan and mission too. So,
yeah.
And then we've linked with Epic. So the Epic, we're now creating a master clinician program, a master supervisor program. And we're just starting that off now by taking 4 agencies and collaborating on what is best practice and creating some standardized, formalized stuff that we can now all train our students and the therapists under so that we're all being consistent.
Yeah, no, that's exciting stuff. And I'd imagine, as with most businesses that are really in a growth mode, it's the recruitment part that can oftentimes derail the growth because you don't have the right people in place. And so by being so active and involved in helping these individuals get their career rolling, you're able then to also use that as a recruitment tool too, right? So that's helping fuel your growth as well, I would think.
It is. And yeah, then people get to know us because people are talking about it. So it's, you know, what you think maybe 1 or 2 little variables tend to now grow into like a web of new things that I never would have thought it would have grown into.
Yeah. So now back 25 years ago, when you decided to leave where you were practicing before and start your own business, success probably had a different definition to it than what maybe success does for you today. How has that changed and how do you define success now?
Back then, I think success was just being able to say I had my own practice and have it be able to pay my bills and kind of run independently. And now success has become so multifaceted. We're at a place where, you know, financially it's very stable. So I don't have to worry about stressing to cover the costs of, you know, the next month's rent. And so now it's now exploring and allowing the employees to grow, to make some suggestions. And now success is what new things can we bring to offer, to add value services, to, you know, just grow and expand and just have fun with this. So now the success is just, let's see where this goes. It's the adventure now.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious how you're going to respond to this next question. But I think I might have some insights into that just based off of what you just finished saying. But what keeps you motivated to continue growing the business? Because after 25 years, right, that's quite a duration in, you know, doing something and that you might have a strong passion for, even in those circumstances. It becomes a little bit of routine and the grind and so on. So what keeps you motivated and excited to continue to grow your business?
I think I don't have that grind as much. It's so much change going on because we keep having new programs. Like I'm not just practicing. Before you might've been just practicing. So now I'm training trainers. I'm training supervisors. I'm now having to think in much bigger ways. And then as the new programs coming in and seeing the change that other people are wanting to add in and bring their stuff, that's where that new novelty come in. So my job of doing therapy, you know, I still enjoy my area of what I'm, you know, working with. So which I'm also the expert in that area, but it's more like seeing the new change and new people coming through, having them contribute and input new options, and then going down that rabbit hole to see where, if there's something from there. That's that enjoyment. It's like an adventure, right? I never know what's going to happen every year. And when I just says, well, you never know. Like, I'm never going to say no, because I've eaten my words enough times.
The adventure part is where I thought you were going to end up, and so you got right there. So that's good. I kind of figured that's what it might be. So it's that new, it's a challenge, right? It's everything's always evolving and changing. And so that's the one thing that I love about being an entrepreneur is that, you know, it's frustrating as well that every day is a slightly different day. So it's hard to get that consistency that you were talking about, which is really helpful for mental health purposes, but it's also still really exciting and exhilarating to have that change and to have new challenges every month, every year, right?
I think the awards were also an interesting thing. When my wife, Henrietta, brought in, she's also the business partner in here. And so she brought these awards as possibilities because I've never even heard of them, never even thought about it. And so it becomes now things to chase. It's like, oh, these are things that are excellence. These are things that would, you know, and so now it becomes, I never thought about doing it in that way. And so let's see if we can, you know, up our standards and keep chasing these higher standard awards. And so that's kind of another fun thing to just kind of add on the list of let's go chase this and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's obviously been working, and you're being recognized for it, because the ABAD award wasn't the only one that was on your website. I saw there's a whole list of them. So you're definitely getting lots of recognition for the great things that you guys are doing over there. So thank you very much, Corey. I really appreciate you taking the time today to share with us a little bit about your business, as well as, you know, some of the things that we should be, you know, aware of when it comes to mental health, especially as entrepreneurs who are taking on so many stresses and navigating some, well, has been uncharted waters the last couple of years. And so I really appreciate it. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people listening to this that would have had some great takeaways. And if they wanted to, you know, get in contact to learn a little bit more about the program, what's the best way to reach out or to find that information?
Well, it's on our website. So we have the corporate care website and we have the Insight Psych. So they're all connected. But even if you phone the front desk or even just pop an email to our directors, and they can send you to the right person. And so, yeah, it depends on what issue we're looking for, right? If you're looking for counseling services for the entrepreneur, you can either go through the standard intake, you know, on the front desk, or you can go through our corporate care website and talk to them. And then they can kind of craft and kind of tell you what the options are. So there's lots of ways in, just kind of keep asking those questions. And then worst case, you can ask me directly, I have them, and I can point them in the direction, because they're usually going to talk to me if there's any questions too. So
sounds great. Yeah. And so for those of you who don't know the website already, it's insightpsychological.ca, and just head over there and there's a contact button there, and obviously surf around in the business services section is where you're going to see that entrepreneur care program. So yeah, thank you again, Corey. Really appreciate you taking the time today.
You're welcome. Take care.
And for those of you who appreciated and enjoyed this episode, head over to amplifyyourbusiness.ca to find all of our past episodes, as well as our future ones, of course. And if you prefer to listen to this as opposed to watch it, you can head over to any of your podcasting platforms of choice and search Amplify Your Business, and you're going to find us there as well. So until next time, everybody have a prosperous day.